Thanks for coming out again tonight. Nice to see you all. I've had something rolling around in my head. I don't think I have an attention span long enough to mull over a message for more than a couple hours, but I've been thinking about this for a month, just mulling over it. And it's about what someone said 430 years ago. It's pretty famous, actually. What is in a name? And maybe you've heard that before. That came from William Shakespeare in the Romeo and Juliet play. And his thought behind that is to kind of show how useless a name is. Like it puts a name tag, obviously, on a thing, but it doesn't give the worth of a thing. I think that's wrong. You know, we all have a name. My name is Ian, and when you hear someone talk about me, I'm sure things come to mind. When I hear my name, I look for the person talking to me or calling out for me. You have a name, but I want to talk about one name tonight. I got to get my notes open here. A very precious name, and we've already heard it many times from Luke tonight. That is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you were to think of some powerful people, I was thinking about, well, who are some powerful people? Well, in today's day and age, Elon Musk, he's like a multi-billionaire. He's going into space. He's got the Teslas. A very, very powerful man because of money. You could think of King Charles. A very powerful man, maybe not so much in today's day and age, but the royalty of that family a couple hundred years ago, they were the most powerful family in the world. But really, how powerful are they in the view of eternity? What are they worth? They don't have much power. What about the name of Jesus Christ? What does that mean to you? Is that as unfortunately, a guy I work with, he uses that as a cuss word more than not. That's all he knows the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as, and it's kind of sad, and I've brought it up to him before. But do you know the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And tonight, it's kind of some jumbled up thoughts, but I want to maybe think of that. And we'll turn to Proverbs. If you have a Bible, Psalms, Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Just that first part, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And I always thought, okay, you know what, it's a Proverbs, it's a good thing that Ian McCandless, my name, as what I strive to be, try to be, is if you hear my name, you think, okay, decent guy, and he'll never go behind your back. That's what I try to be, etc. Other things can go along with that. But I was looking at this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know what a good name is? Jesus Christ. He is to be chosen rather than great riches. We all look at our phones on Facebook and the reels. So if I say I was looking at a reel, I think you can all gather what I'm talking about. I was looking at a reel, and this guy, if I get it right, asked, would you take $10 million if you died tomorrow? And the guy looked at him. He said, no, I wouldn't take that. He said, well, then your life is worth at least $10 million. Live like it. If your life is worth eternity in heaven or hell, does that resonate with you at all? When that guy decided that he wouldn't take the $10 million for the last day of his life, it kind of struck me of how much we just don't value our life until something like that is brought up. Most of us are so keen and I think even myself, just day by day, you go on, and I'm very thankful that I'm saved and could always do better reading my Bible and praying. But I don't live like the Lord is coming at any moment. We should live like that. And I'm definitely looking in a mirror telling myself that right now. But if you died, or if the Lord came, and when I say the Lord came, there's a time coming when Jesus will return to this earth and take those of us that are saved, he'll take us to heaven. That's what I mean by when I say the Lord comes. But if you died or the Lord came, where would you be tonight? Would you have all the fun memories that you've had over the years? The money that you've made? I remember when I was, before I was saved, I had a couple dirt bikes and a, well, I didn't have a truck before, see, but I had stuff. And if the Lord came, that wouldn't mean anything to me. None. Because I know from being raised in the gospel hall and just what the Bible says, what regardless if I was raised in the gospel hall, what's coming after the Lord returns is not worth anything that you could gain on this earth. What is in a name? One thing I struggle with every time I get up here to preach is to share the clarity and the simplicity of the gospel. I was saved through John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that word believe, for some reason in my mind, is so hard to explain. And I looked it up. You know what the definition is? To have confidence in the truth. To believe. To have confidence in the truth. That's it's what it says. That's all it is required. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Philippians chapter 2 is what I'd like to turn to next. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Got to remind myself. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. This is the Son of God, came from heaven, humbled himself in the form of a man, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name. Pay attention to verse 10 here. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Does that not speak of the power of the Lord Jesus' name? That God acknowledges him? That he says there's a coming day when every knee will bow? Whether that's you tonight, whether you die, there will be a time when every sinner's soul, every person that has ever been born on this earth, their soul will be brought before God and their knee will bow. So I have another question. Do you know you're a sinner? Okay, if you know you're a sinner, how do you know you're a sinner? Because the Bible says it, right? Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I don't have to tell you that. You believe that. You know what the Bible also says? That Jesus died for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So if you believe the Bible tells you that you're a sinner, just simple fact, you acknowledge that. How come you can't do the same when it says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? I was thinking about that. It's the same Bible. You learn that you're a sinner. You learn that you can't go to heaven because of sin, because the Bible tells you that. The same Bible is giving you the answer. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's you. So you acknowledge that. You know it. Will you believe that tonight? That Jesus died for you? I'd like to go to Acts. Acts chapter 16. And this is just another example. Acts chapter 16, verse 23 is where we'll start. Acts 16, verse 23. And this is Paul and Silas. They're in the prison. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of a deep sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. And I think this is interesting. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." I find it interesting because, one, the prison was very dark. So he wouldn't have been able to see that all the doors were open. And Paul and Silas, I don't know how they knew that he was about to kill himself. But I think that's just the power of God. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then the jailer called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He was urgent. He made this his top priority. Is that you tonight? Is this important to you? You're here? That is very good. It's really good that you are here. We love to see you, but is it your priority tonight? God's just waiting to save you. Is it your priority? It was the jailer's priority. He came running in and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Very simple. What must I do? Here's the simple answer. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Full stop. Not pay money, not good works. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is simple. That is clear. How many words is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 words. You know how many words someone speaks in a day? I think more than others. Sometimes I say a lot, sometimes I don't say enough. 10 words, very special words, could change your life from heading to hell for eternity to heading to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is not my words. That's not Thompson Chain who printed this Bible. It's not their words. That is God's word. His requirement for you to get to heaven is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So what do you think of that name? You might forget my name. Maybe you won't. Maybe I'm making you a little irritated tonight. And my dad used to say, if they're irritated when you leave, that's good because they won't forget your message. So if you're irritated tonight, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you really want more. I can't give you any more. There's people here that are much more knowledgeable than I am with this. But you know what? They could talk to you. And I remember before I was saved, I'd talk to preachers, but I talked to a couple of them hours. Did nothing. But there was one night. Just because I said night doesn't mean you got to get saved in the evening. But I was in my bed and I wanted to be saved, and I just ask God, how, like, I want to be saved. How? And I already quoted it, he that believeth on the Son. It's the same thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have full confidence. Just like you're sitting in your chair. That's an age-old example of when I was growing up. They'd say, you're believing in your chair to hold you up. Some of those plastic chairs, don't believe in them. But the one you're sitting in, you never even thought twice about it. You just put your duff on it and you were down. You're sitting there. You believe. You didn't question it. That's the same thing with the gospel. I never will question my salvation because Jesus Christ died for me, and that is God's requirement. It's a sad thing if you're relying on money or good works or praying your way to heaven, because you'll never know if that's enough. You want to know why? Because there's no amount given in this Bible. There's no requirement that says you must pray this much, you must give this much, you must do these things. That is not God's requirement. It is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is God's promise. I can't remember the verse, but it says in this Bible that God cannot lie. I don't have anything else to say. I had, typical with my messages, I guess, I'll prepare something and then I get off on a tangent. But you know what? I would much rather the Holy Spirit lead my mouth than Ian lead my mouth, because my mouth can be foolish. But all I can tell you tonight is that the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 some odd years ago, laid down his life on Calvary. Calvary was a hill outside that they would crucify people on. If you don't know what crucifixion is, that's a cross. And I'm sure you've seen many examples of that on churches, but they drove nails into Jesus' hands and his feet, and he was hung up as a spectacle. And that whole time, it's quoted at the end of John and a couple of the scriptures. He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive these people. Forgive the ones that have put the nails in my hand. Forgive the ones that have spit in my face. Forgive the ones that have ripped the beard off my face. Forgive Ian McCandless 2,000 years from now. Forgive the people in O'Leary Gospel Hall tonight that aren't saved. I'm paying for their sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And at the end of that, he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. He died at Calvary, and 3 days later, he rose again. Today, he is alive in heaven. He is a risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else could do that. He was the holy, perfect Son of God that came down from heaven, and that's what it was talking about in Philippians. He came down in the form of man to serve man, to live a perfect life, sinless, spotless. Not one sin. So he could go to Calvary and pay for your sin. It's free tonight. It's paid for. I think almost everybody nowadays, if they want a car, they got to go borrow money for it. And they're constantly paying. Not much these days is paid in cash, paid in full. Salvation is, your sin is the biggest debt that you will never pay. That is why hell. That is why sinners are sent to hell. For a debt they cannot pay. Jesus Christ paid that debt. As far as God's concerned, your sin is already paid for. You just need to accept and acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for you. So this week, tonight, as you go home, if you see a cross, or you hear someone swear using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain, rather than laugh about it or say it yourself, think about the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we can share this message. Thank you for the holy and perfect name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid for my sin. He paid for all sin. He paid for the sin of those in this audience tonight that aren't saved. Pray that you would open their minds to the simplicity of it, that they just need to believe that Jesus Christ died for them. Just thank you for your goodness and patience and kindness to us. And just ask for safe travels on the way home tonight. And would take a moment to pray for Jason Jensen and pray for his salvation most of all. And would pray for his healing as well. Just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ once again in his name. Amen.